Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. If you're into craft beer and spirits, you've probably heard of Last Mountain Distillery. For most casual drinkers, they might only be aware of the dill pickle vodka, but what you need to know is about their whiskey. Whiskey is where legends are made. Last Mountain's whiskeys have won multiple medals in the past, but I don't think locals have caught on to it quite yet. But I do think we're at a tipping point, and if I might be so bold to say, those legends are being written right now. Braden Rayway is the GM of operations and head distiller with Last Mountain Distillery, and he's here to talk about their new line of whiskey and their connection to the Sass craft beer scene. So let's get into it. Braden, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Just waiting for this big storm to roll in.
Think we're going to survive?
Well, if you got a bottle of whiskey, I think you'll be okay.
That's a good thing. I do have two.
Perfect.
Yours, in fact.
Awesome.
So for people who don't know who you are, what is your role at Last Mountain?
I'm the general manager and head distiller here at Last Mountain Distillery. So I do a little bit of everything from start to finish, pretty much. So, you know, grinding the grain, making those mashes, to distilling, to blending, making sure things get in the bottle, the R&D and taste testing, which is probably part of the funnest part of the job. And then also get to deal with some of the customers and seeing people enjoy the things that we do make.
How did you get into distilling? What's your background?
I don't really have too much of a background in distilling or brewing or anything like that. Kind of just stumbled upon it coming back from school up in Saskatoon, actually. And someone pushed me towards Colin, who was looking for a hand at the time, and kind of flourished from there. I grew to enjoy what we're doing here. Colin and Meredith treated me well from day one, and I just became part of their family, essentially.
I know you guys have that real big history with the dill pickle vodka, but I also know that whiskey was a big part of your guys' dream or strategy. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think when Colin first started Last Mountain Distillery, his goal was to be a predominant whiskey producer. That was his favorite spirit that he would drink. He enjoyed that very often. So, you know, his first goal was to make whiskey, but obviously there's a long time frame that goes along with that. So in the meantime, you got to fill those gaps, you know, find things that work, don't work, pay the bills, those sort of things. So,
and that led to the dill pickle vodka?
Yeah, they started making that for a customer at the time who was basically mixing pickle juice into their vodka to make a Caesar. Instead of doing that extra step, they asked Colin to cut that out, make that more mainline for them. So that's kind of where it stemmed from. Grandma's recipe on making dill pickles kind of came into that as well. So both of those combined is kind of the birth of dill pickle vodka.
Well, I know you guys have been doing these whiskeys. I know Rebellion has collabed with you in the past, and we won some medals with that one. Tell me about this new lineup of whiskeys. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so about a year ago-ish, I started having this idea of different flavors and different options for whiskey. So just getting something a little bit more unique. So we've started coming out with this cask exchange series with different brewers across the province. So getting that collaboration between some of the cool things that are going on in our industries, just to make something a little bit different that people might not necessarily be used to or be able to find on the shelf somewhere else.
Now I've got this Zilla cask whiskey. Can you tell me about it a little bit?
This one is our first one in the line. So what we did was we took a gin barrel, got it to you guys there at Rebellion. So it's already got lots of those botanical flavors, that juniper. You guys put your Zilla IPA in there, and I believe it was called the Winter Ale out of the tap room. So it just added more of those hops and citrus to the barrel. That once you guys had it empty, we got it back, took a 3 to 5 year old whiskey, put it back in there to kind of hopefully soak up and bring on some of those flavors from the beer. And I think you can really taste that in this one.
Well, I've got a little bit poured here. You might call it a dram. Let's give it a taste. Right off the nose, immediately, that aroma just kind of hits you, that spice note. It's quite nice.
I think when we first started doing these, we weren't quite sure exactly how much of that flavor we were going to see through the whiskey. And I think we were pleasantly surprised with this one.
One of the other things I noticed was, in my imagination or my mind, whiskey is very peaty and smoky and salty. And this is not that. This is something completely different. It kind of reminds me of dessert.
Yeah, for sure. I think part of that is that wheat whiskey. So what we found a lot with our wheat whiskey is that it's a little bit sweeter and a little bit nicer on the palate, not so harsh that you might get from some of those other grains. So perfect, I think, combination with those, that citrus and hops, like I said, even some of that juniper from the gin barrel originally, I think you're kind of getting through there as well.
I just took another sip and it's pretty smooth as far as my experience with whiskey goes. Is that something you guys were aiming for?
I think some of it comes from just seeing what some of the other guys are doing, you know, maybe down south, or one of my favorite things to do when I do travel is go visit other micro distilleries. So sometimes you see some of the things that they're doing, collaborations, different products, that sort of thing, kind of triggers things in your mind of, oh, hey, that might be kind of cool. So I think just trying to do something different was really the big thing for me. So don't necessarily know if it's going to work. And that's the tough thing with whiskey sometimes, is you got to sit around and wait for it and just hope that, you know, something good's going to come out of it. So when we started this one, we thought, hey, why not? You know, we have great whiskey. You guys have great beer. Let's combine the two great companies and see what happens.
Is it, science for you guys? Is it a little bit of alchemy and magic? How do you get to a finished product like this? And is it just guessing, or is it something you're becoming more accurate at?
I'm not 100% sure on how long you guys had the beer in the barrel, if you were around when it first started, but this was back when Dave was around. So this was a little while ago. So it sat in the barrel for, you know, months on your end, and then sat in the barrel again for months on our end. So this project has probably been going on for, I'd say, at least a good year.
I know that when we got started with this and you called me up and you said, hey, I need some artwork for the labels, they hadn't communicated to me what was going on. I was like, what do you mean you need our artwork? What's going on? And it kind of was all happening secretly in the background. How long did this project take to get going? And pretty limited, pretty special.
Yeah, we only did one barrel of this one. So there was 300-ish bottles. So you can only right now get that at the distillery here and over at Rebellion as well.
Would you describe it as a collector's item or something that people might want to add to their collection? Or what kind of product are you positioning this as?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, there's, like we said, there's only one barrel of it. So once it's gone, you're probably not going to get another one of these. So to have that on your shelf, especially as a whiskey collector, is kind of cool. Kind of, especially if you're, you know, a Rebellion fan or a Last Mountain fan, it kind of ties in both of those things and something that's really unique.
One thing I've been thinking about that I wanted to bug you on was getting your opinion about the status of Saskatchewan's whiskey culture. What is it at right now?
I think it's starting to come along. What we found is, you know, things were a certain way for years and years, and people didn't necessarily have too many options, especially locally. There's not too many yet. They're starting to come along, but, you know, people were stuck in drinking their Weisers or whatever it might be. That was just their go-to because that's what all they had for options. So slowly we're starting to, you know, teach people that there is great whiskey here produced in Saskatchewan, whether it's us or another distillery. I think that knowledge is starting to come through a little bit more and more.
What do you see the potential as in the next 5 years?
Well, we have some of the best grain here in Saskatchewan, so I don't see why there's any reason why we can't have, you know, competing whiskeys with some of the best stuff around the world. And I think you can start to see that in some of the awards that we've recently received and some of the Canadian whiskey awards up against, you know, 40-year-old whiskeys. We're getting put right alongside with them.
Well, that feels really good. That's like a nice claim to fame.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost humbling, to be honest. You know, these guys have been making whiskey for hundreds of years, and they're putting out 40-year-old whiskeys. And then for us to have a 5 or 6-year-old being judged right alongside with them is really good.
Is it about science? Is it about learning and art? How are we catching up so quick?
I think that the grain and our climate here is just right for it. That, you know, that mixture is just slowly getting there and just propelling us to be able to catch up and you know, play around a little bit more. We have easy access to things. There's no reason why we can't jump up there that quick.
You've probably got a few stories in your back pocket. Do you have a favorite distilling story that kind of comes to mind when you're talking to buddies and giving a little pull on a glass? Is there something that pops out and you're like, oh yeah, I got to tell you guys this one?
Yeah, there's always a couple, especially when, you know, your buddy's always like, hey, can you help me make a still for my garage? The one, I remember the first day, one of the first days here at the distillery, starting to learn a little bit how the process works and that sort of thing. And watching the still with Colin and tasting that first bit of whiskey coming off the still. I think I was a little bit naive thinking that it might be, you know, 40% or something. That he said, oh, here, try this out. And spoke, you know, 7:30 in the morning, and he passes me a little bit of this 80-some% whiskey. Me not knowing, slugs it back, damn near cried. But, you know, I wasn't really expecting this, especially at 7:30 in the morning. So that was a real eye-opening experience, one of my first days here.
You put a little hair on your chest?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I remember getting to tour your guys' facility and seeing the barrels and the racks and kind of your process. And I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, people need to come out to Lumsden and check this out. It's really fun.
Yeah. It's kind of cool to come back into the back area there and see hundreds of barrels sitting around. It definitely makes for a good picture. I know my wife and I, when we got married, we used it as a backdrop for some of our wedding photos. So it's pretty cool.
I know the very first time I had whiskey was at the Bushwhacker, and my buddy had decided he was going to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars tasting whiskey that evening. And it was like breathing fire and smoke and super alienating. Do you think there's a good whiskey for people to dip their toe into first?
You know, there are some of those big guys that do make some great whiskey for an affordable price. So you don't necessarily have to go out and buy those $150 bottles. There are some good stuff that like Buffalo Trace has, things like that, that are a reasonable price at the liquor store that you can go and buy.
What about you guys? What should people start with first?
Depends if you're going to be drinking it on the rocks or if you're going to be looking to do something mixed. We do have our Canadian blended whiskey, which is a blend between some wheat and some rye. So it kind of gives you both a best of both worlds, the smoothness from the wheat, the spice from the rye. If you are looking for something a little bit more as a sipping whiskey, we do usually try to have a rotation of single cask whiskeys on our shelf. So again, similar to this cask exchange where it's one barrel at a time that we find a little bit more unique, that's had either different mash bill, different aging process, something along those lines that can really, really intrigue your palate.
One of the things I know from working in craft beer is brewers often have a very different perspective on what they like to drink and maybe what general consumers would want to drink. So when it comes to Braden, what is it for whiskey that you look to that you want?
Right now, I'm really into like a sherry cask finished whiskey. I don't know if it's just because it's something a little unique that I haven't been able to play around with here too much yet or what, but you know, something like that that's a little bit different and takes a little bit more finesse and time with it. I think that's one of the things I've learned over the years is that your palate's always growing. So, you know, I might like this sherry cask this week, might like something else next week. And I think, I'm sure you can relate on the beer side, is your palate's always changing. What I might like, you might not like.
I think we call it the craft beer journey.
I've slowly been taking my dad through that journey too. So, from going drinking the watered down, easy drinking stuff to more of the IPAs, stuff with character and that real flavor. So it's been kind of cool to see him go through that as well.
For people who don't know, what is the character of a sherry whiskey?
So sherry cask has almost got a little bit more of a fruitiness to it, I would explain it as. It almost gives it like a red tinge to it, kind of smoothens it out a little bit, and that sort of thing.
So I know we're back into the COVID lockdown for the next few weeks. Are you guys still open? Can people still come and take stuff to go?
Yeah, for sure. We have our storefront right here in Lumsden that more than welcome to stop by, and we are limiting how many people are in at a time, but we are open here at the distillery. We aren't doing tours and tastings right now, just with everything going on, but our storefront is open for those sort of things.
One of the things I often think about when it comes to craft beer, I'm always challenging people to maybe stretch their legs. Don't just stick with what's safe and what you know. But I've been kind of a hypocrite when it comes to whiskey and other spirits where I haven't been as adventurous. This was really nice. Getting to, you look at this, you smell it, you taste it. It's a real nice trip. And I think it's really exciting that we've been able to do this collaboration. And I highly recommend this if you're looking for something that's maybe a little bit closer to dessert. It's not going to make you breathe smoke and fire. And I kind of just wanted to get your final thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I appreciate that. It's been really fun getting to do some of this stuff like this. I know we have some more down the pipeline that people can watch out for. So just something to keep your eye out for, a couple other collaborations coming up.
Deadly. Braden, thank you for your time today.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.
Rebels. Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm going to include links in the show notes so you can find more about Last Mountain's Cask Exchange series. I'm also proud to let you know that we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province. You can find them at thesaskpodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in Sask craft beer. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.